You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Morning, John.
Morning, Alan.
How are you this fine Friday morning?
I am swell.
Awesome. And to our listeners, it's going to be a shortened version. We're trying something new because John's got himself a new gig for work, and so we kind of have to put off a little bit of a half-hour show in the morning instead of these hour-long gigs we've been doing. So hopefully you, the listener, enjoys our conversations just as well in a short and condensed version. So, and Devin, how are you this morning?
I'm pressed for time. Let's roll. Let's roll. Let's talk some basketball.
You are not pressed for time. So, all right, well, In the subject of time, let's go ahead and jump right into it. It's been a couple of weeks. NBA Finals began last night. Let's start off with the NBA Finals. John, did you get a chance to watch Game 1?
I did. I watched all of the first half and then a few minutes of the second half. I was super impressed with what I was watching from Toronto. I thought their passing game was spot on. I was really entertained by the fact that pretty sure 9 of their first 10 shots were threes. So they were really, really trying to emphasize that early, and it worked. And then they're able to get some more inside game going. But I was really impressed watching Toronto as a team play together. Like every third play, Kawhi was just give it to Kawhi and see what happens. But I was impressed by Siakam. I was impressed by Van Vliet. I was impressed by Ibaka. There was just really good basketball going on.
Well, and Toronto was 5 of 14 from downtown in the first half. That ought to give you an idea how many shots they jacked up early. So was it 5 of 14 in the first half, or was it first quarter? Now I forgot. I remember they were 5
of 14. It might have been first quarter.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so they're 5 of 14 in the first quarter. So, yeah, they took quite a few threes, 35% in that first quarter. Is there concern, was that their game plan, or is there concern that that's what Golden State is going to say? Look, you're going to beat us from three, or you're not going to beat us. Last night they beat them. Is there concern that this is how it's going to have to be? They're going to have to take that many threes every night. Is that a problem for Toronto?
No, I think they just wanted to emphasize it early. And then it seemed like that opened them up for the rest of the game, where they had taken so many threes that Golden State knew they could not slack on their perimeter defense, and then they were able to get more into mid-range and pick and rolls and stuff.
I got you. Well, and that's kind of what I wondered. I even with all said and done, Steph Curry still ended up with 35 or more for the night. I can't remember. At one point in time, he was at 35 after his free throws, so he may have. I don't know if he did. He reach 40 last night, guys. I don't know if he reached 40.
Curry had 34.
Okay, 34. All right, I was 1 point off there. But so I know Curry had a big night. It sounds like his supporting cast wasn't great, which you can expect on the road. But no, I'm with you. I was very impressed with Toronto, and I felt like they set the pace for the game last night too, that it was very much in their favor. Like you said, Kawhi, Siakam, they had some impressive games. I was very impressed with Gasol. I think that's one of the undersung pickups of the NBA during the trade deadline. I think Toronto picking up Mark Gasol was huge for them, and you could see it last night. Both his pick and roll defense as well as his ability to pass, from any spot on the floor, finding guys, getting other teammates involved. Gasol was huge for them last night.
Yeah, I think he hit two threes there in that first quarter.
Yep.
And just his general presence down low was able to disrupt some things. In fact, the thing that Toronto has to be proud of is really their starters outplayed the Warriors starters.
Yeah, they did.
And all the Warriors starters were negative plus minus. All the Toronto starters were positive plus minus. The bench was pretty much even, kind of a wash. Everyone on the bench on both teams is something like minus four, plus two, plus one, you know. But it really came down to Toronto starters beating Golden State starters. Now, I think this game showed that the Warriors actually do need Durant back. And I think once they have him back, it's going to be a different series. And I wouldn't even be surprised if the Warriors came back and won in game two, just because the Warriors are so freaking good.
That was my next question to you, is what do you expect in game two? Because I'm with you. I think that the Warriors played well enough last night that they could come back in game two and could play. They were never out of it last night. Let's be fair. They never were. I mean, yeah. I think the final score was a double digit score, but that was the widest margin in the game. I don't think they were ever really out of that game. So, you know, a couple of tweaks here and there, and all of a sudden Golden State wins that game or could win game two. So I'm with you on that.
Well, they won by nine, and I think it came down to turnovers. Warriors had six more turnovers than Raptors did. And right. When you only win by nine, you got to look at the small things. Now, Warriors shooting overall was low. They were 43% from the field, whereas Toronto was 50%. So Warriors are going to have to do some looking in the mirror about their defense. They eased some people back onto the court. Cousins played 8 minutes. He wasn't great. He was just kind of there.
Yes.
God, they didn't even play Bogut at all. I can't remember why. I don't remember if he was a DMP or what, but, they're when they don't have Durant and you are starting Iguodala, then you see their bench isn't that great. I thought Livingston played great. Looney played pretty good. And then after that, what do you have? You have Alphonso McKinney, Quinn Cook. I mean, it's just kind of thin. Even Jarebko in his 7 minutes, he didn't look that great. So, you know, the Warriors need their, I never would have thought I would have said this the other day, but the Warriors really need Durant back.
Well, and then you go the reverse side. One of the guys that stands out for me off the bench for Toronto is Van Fleet, who I think has had a stellar playoffs. He has been really good throughout the playoffs, but last night he continued. He played really well last night again. And you've got a guy like that coming off the bench that gives you a chance, especially with the energy that he plays with on both ends of the court. I really like Van Fleet. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
So, also kudos to We the North. I don't know how it sounded. So I had my phone up watching it on the phone. I don't know how it sounded in the TV real environment, but wow, were they loud? Were they up? Were they into that game? Big props to Toronto and We the North. They showed last night. They showed big.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The announcers were talking about it all night. Just how incredible the home crowd was.
Well, and listening to the pregame, I mean, there were times when you couldn't hear the guys talk pregame stuff. It was loud pregame. So big props. I'm looking forward to the rest of this series and what it'll bring. And hey, go Toronto, because they played well, and I hope they continue that. Any other talks in the finals, or is that good? Do we want to pick our series yet? I mean, we're going to be, by the end of the week, next week, we're going to be, what, game four in that. Do we want to pick our early picks for the series, or do you want to wait till next week?
Well, we might as well.
Yeah, let's do it then. Who wins and how many games?
Warriors in six.
Devin?
Warriors in six.
I'm going Toronto in six. I think Toronto's going to get a road game.
I'm rooting for you to be right.
Yeah.
I would love Toronto to win the...
I've never wanted to be more wrong about a basketball take, I don't think.
Yeah.
Well, then there we go. So we've got it. We've got it all in six. You guys with Golden State, me with Toronto. So, all right, moving on to some more NBA news and notes. I love where you're starting with this, John. Houston is, do we call them a dumpster fire yet?
Absolutely not.
No.
Are you kidding me?
I know, I'm laughing because of what's been going on this week. John, what the heck?
Daryl Morey is unafraid of making moves. It got out there that he's ready to make a lot of moves with his team. And okay. So he's basically put everybody but James Harden on the trading block. Talks broke down with Mike D'Antoni. So Mike he only has 1 year left on his deal. And, you know, it sounds like you're going to have a disgruntled coach working his final year.
Yep.
You know, it's like Houston, they were the second best team in the West, but they got dismantled by the Warriors so easily that I think they're in a bit of a panic. And I would think Houston doesn't need to really panic that much because, you know, Warriors got a lot of free agents on their team.
Yep.
It's like 99% that Durant's not coming back. And you watch the Durantless Warriors against the Raptors, and there's a bit of a formula there. Now, I know Durant wasn't there for the whole Houston series, but I really don't think they need to do that much. I thought they changed their team too much last year from the year before. I thought they lost a lot of crucial pieces, and they were really in trouble at the beginning of the year. Houston,
right?
People will recall, was at one point 14th in the standings after the first few weeks.
Exactly.
They got it turned around, but, you know, I don't know. It's interesting that these stories are out there that make it sound like Houston's in a bit of a panic. Morey wants to win now. They have Harden in his prime. Chris Paul's way overpaid. You know, I don't know. I expect they're going to make some big deal, but I don't really know what it's going to be. I'm just amused that the Rockets are going through this right now.
So you're right. A strong choice of words for me to call it dumpster fire, especially considering our next story that we'll hit. But I'm still looking at this going, I'm with you. I'm a little shell-shocked by this because Houston shouldn't have to change anything because they were really good this year. And like you said, there's some upheaval that could happen at Golden State. The West, although it's getting stronger at the bottom and in the middle, because it is the Jazz, you expect will get better. You know, Denver getting better. Denver showed what they are this year. If they're not one-hit wonders, we expect they're going to be big next year. Portland, right there in the thick of things. So Houston does have to make maybe a move or two, but I don't know that putting everybody on the trade block is necessary in this situation.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessary. I mean, when we talked about it earlier in the playoffs, I had said that I thought this could be Houston's year, and I still stand by that. It wasn't, but they were good enough that they could have gone on to win a title. It wouldn't have shocked me.
Right.
But I think as far as fans, I think every NBA team that's not winning championships and not hitting the finals wants a GM like Morey and wants someone who's willing to shake it up, who's willing to spend the money, and who's willing to just go for it to get a ring. And I don't have a problem with it. Do I think they need to? No, but if they think it gives them a better chance to bring a championship to Houston and they're willing to do it, then by all means, go crazy. I'm curious what happens because I don't think that Chris Paul contract is very movable.
Neither do I.
And I don't know why you'd want to get rid of Capella because he seems to be the anchor for that team defensively. So
and offensively, he's there for pick and rolls. He's there for backdoor cuts.
Right. He's a fantastic player.
Yeah. He's a guy I don't think Houston would want to give him up.
So I don't know what they can do to shake things up as much as they want to.
Maybe they're putting this out there. Maybe they're eyeballing, say, an Anthony Davis. And so you trade the house to bring Davis in to play with Harden. Right. I don't know.
It's. There's not much of a house. I mean, Eric Gordon is probably your most valuable asset there, and I don't know what's on his contract.
Right.
But let's keep in mind, last season, Daryl Morey said that they were gonna go big. They went big, and they brought in Melo. And so you really don't know what you're going to get when they go all in. You know what I mean?
Well, should we send Eric Gordon to the Jazz, and we'll make some sort of a deal with him?
Yes.
Eric has one more year on his deal for $14 million.
You want Eric Gordon here in Utah, John?
Heck yeah.
That's what Utah needs, is someone who can get their own shot, someone who can hit the outside shot when he gets the ball. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Slide Mitchell to the point and bring Gordon in. I would love it.
All right.
And it's low risk on 1 year.
Just so you know, Chris Paul, James Harden, Clint Capella, between the three of them, that's $91 million in salary next year.
Ooh.
How much of that is Paul? Isn't Paul making 30 upwards?
38.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Paul's making 38. Harden's making 37.
Yep.
Capella's making 16. All of them are a little more. And then you add on Eric Gordon's 14. So there's 105 and change right there. Those four.
Yeah. Well, we'll be watching this in the off season for sure.
Who would take a flyer on CP?
I don't know.
Who's a contender? I mean, what they would have to do is they would have to unload several first rounds for someone to take that on, right? Isn't that the only way?
No.
All right.
No, I don't think so.
I'm going to ask the question to the two of you and the listeners. If the price was right, would you take Chris Paul?
For three more years?
Yeah.
Where he's making $44 million that last year?
I know. The money, I'm talking if the price was right, if you could move it and work it, and if you knew that you could make, I mean, Chris Paul and
let's save the discussion, guys.
The price isn't right.
I didn't
$120 million over the next three
right.
years.
I didn't say necessarily it was. I'm just saying, does it intrigue you at all if you could pull it off somehow? Does it?
If his deal was half of what his deal is, then yeah. But I'm not paying $44 million for a 36-year-old Chris Paul.
I'm not disagreeing
when he already aged in the playoffs.
Right.
You could see it.
Right. Not disagreeing with that one bit.
If the Jazz were one piece away, I'd even, you know, go $30 million on this. Okay, if we're going to contend for the next 2 years and the third year is like, what are we going to get with CP? Then yeah, but it's too
right.
much money for too much age, and it locks you up for too long.
Okay. All right, well, that transitions to the dumpster fire that is L.A. Big stuff going down over the last week or so. And John, maybe I'll throw this in there. Maybe Chris Paul becomes in the conversation. Do the Lakers try and pick him up and bring him in? What's going on in L.A.?
Magic Johnson was bad at his job, and so he quit. And now he is throwing a match on the gasoline hole that is Lakerland right now. And what's really funny is he goes on these national shows. He goes on ESPN. No one's challenging him on anything. He basically said Rob Pelinka stabbed him in the back. Rob Pelinka was the one who was leaking all the stuff about how he was bad at his job. And the thing is, well, Magic was bad at his job. Magic didn't like the work. Magic would only come in like 3 or 4 hours a day, and he still viewed his job as just being Magic Johnson, and there was a lot more to the job than that. So,
right.
And I don't have a lot of sympathy for him. I'll never have sympathy for the Laker organization in general, but it's just really fun to watch how they can't get their act together.
In the meantime, Kobe Bryant gets pulled into it in some sort of a backstory about meeting Heath Ledger. And I'm thinking, where is the validity of this in an NBA story? But whatever. It's interesting to me how it's now becoming a he said, she said out of LA. It's getting ugly. It's a fireworks show there in LA right now.
If LA wants to do well, I think there's a couple things they need to do. They need to basically clean house with that front office because it still sucks. That's step number one. Step number two is they need to forget that Kobe Bryant was there for the next 5 years because they're too busy living in the past. And Kobe Bryant's name should not even be uttered. There shouldn't be the pressure of what Kobe did.
Yep.
There shouldn't be Bron's not Kobe. It just shouldn't be there. It shouldn't be there in the fans' minds, and it shouldn't be there in the team's mind.
And Jeannie Buss needs to take control and shut out the inner circle she's got of people that are in her ear and take control and be in charge. She has to.
So we'll see. John, what are your thoughts?
Sorry, I just saw this weird story. It's like everyone outside knows what they need to do. You need to get rid of most of those voices who are in there right now.
Yep.
I do not understand at all why Kurt Rambis is there. I mean, and it sounds like all the decisions are being made by Jeannie, by the Rambises, you know, Pelinka, and it's like one other voice that you don't really want to rely on. So I think you get rid of the Rambises, you get rid of, Phil Jackson. I think Jeannie needs to find a different GM. In fact, I saw a lot of lamenting on Lakers Twitter when Jazz reorganized. and they had Dennis Lindsay promoted and Justin Zanuck got the GM job.
They probably wanted Zanuck.
They did. You saw a lot of people. I saw Lakers Twitter go just like retweeting and going, oh, great. Why can't we get a real GM? So it's amazing that this franchise that has been considered one of the crown jewels in the NBA is in such disarray and has been for so long.
Right.
I still think they have enough goodwill that they can right themselves, unlike, say, the Knicks, which is supposed to be the crown jewel but hasn't been for 20 years.
Yeah, it's weird to see both of them struggling so much. And you know where the Lakers really missed is I believe there's a GM down in L.A. that seems to be doing pretty well. And that's maybe who they should have gotten.
In Clipperland.
Isn't it Jerry Indeed. West?
Is Jerry West the GM, or is he one of the decision makers? I don't remember if he's the GM.
I thought he was, but
yeah, I don't remember.
I will go to the Google machine and make sure.
But I while you're looking that up, I'm with you, John, and I feel the same way about Pelinka that you felt about the Rambuses.
I think he's an advisor because this says it's Lawrence Frank.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But even then, Lawrence Frank's done a good job. But back to the Lakers situation, I am still beside myself as how Pelinka's had a job for as long as he has, because I feel like they should have cleaned house with him 2 years, 3 years ago. I just don't think he's been the right guy for them anymore. So I'm with you. They need to clean house in that front office. Jeannie Buss needs to take control, period. So, all right, that's NBA news. Moving on to Devin's quick hits.
Let's talk about the finals. I don't want to talk about the basketball, though. I want to talk about Drake. Because the NBA apparently issued a memo to him and said, hey, you need to tone it down. And this was after the... This wasn't even in the finals.
The rubbing the shoulders.
This was the rubbing the shoulders of the coach, which honestly I love. I don't have a problem with this. I think that Drake is basically in good standing with the entire team, with management, with ownership. He has that seat. He's always there. He is basically the hype man, a secondary mascot almost for Toronto. And personally, I love watching it on TV. I absolutely love the energy that he brings. What do you guys think? Does he need to tone it down? Do you have a problem with it? Is it just because the teams that they've played are teams that we don't like, and the Warriors and the Sixers? Where is your standing? And I guess how would you feel about another team having a famous celebrity going crazy on the sidelines?
I don't have issue with it. And the question I've been asking for weeks, I asked it of the radio guys that were talking on 1280 the other day about it and got no responses. How is it that everybody's so frustrated with Drake, but yet how many years have we watched Spike Lee do his thing in New York?
That's very true. Well,
yeah, I mean, I was watching, you know, when I'm at the gym and you can see ESPN on one of the TVs, and you see the story is Drake in Toronto, and the cry on is something like, you know, is he too involved or whatever it was. But they were showing more footage of Spike Lee and the Knicks than they were of Drake in Toronto.
Well,
so
yeah.
Everybody makes the comparison.
Well, is it right? I think it is. I think they're very similar, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they are.
I mean, I went back and saw a video from the 90s of where Pippen dunked on Patrick Ewing, and it was in Chicago, and Spike Lee was there in Chicago, and he walked over Pippen and was garbage trash talking Spike Lee about it and said, look, that was for you. So this kind of stuff is not new. So I don't know why. Uh-huh. I don't know why Drake is the outlier here, because he isn't.
Well, I mean, it's one thing if he's interfering with the other team or he's interfering with play or something like that. But if he's just being a fan and going crazy and yelling things and getting hyped up, there's thousands of other people doing the exact same thing. They just don't have the notoriety to be showcased on the broadcast. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So, yeah, unless he's crossing the line with the players or something and the opposing players are really genuinely mad about it, you know, whatever. But, I mean, if Aaron Rodgers was going crazy and Milwaukee, then that's Aaron Rodgers' business.
Exactly.
But he chose not to. So let each fan be their own fan. And if the coach wants his shoulders rubbed in the middle of a game, let Drake do it. You know, what's the problem there?
They made him like ambassador for life for the team or something. They right. gave him some kind of weird title that, you know, it's probably unpaid intern
right.
level, but
yeah,
it's a key to the city. It doesn't mm-hmm. do anything, but it sounds cool.
Yeah.
All right. Let's jump to another thing. I believe it's the number 5 prospect, for next year. RJ Hampton signs a deal in New Zealand, to play in the NBL. I just want to get your guys' take. Is this something that we're going to see a lot of, and is this the big move going forward? Less college, more overseas experience. Do you think this pays off for the kid?
I think it'll pay off for him. I don't know that it'll be happening more and more as we go forward, because if Adam Silver gets his way, I think we're going to, and it sounds like he will, we're going to switch back to out of high school kind of guys. So I don't know if it'll become the norm per se, but yeah, I think he's going to get some great experience overseas.
John? I agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of Adam Silver, I believe I saw something that the NBA, this was reported by the New York Times, is considering going to a European soccer-style playoff or tournament system. How would you guys feel about that?
I don't know what you really do with that.
I don't know either.
I mean, it's a different way to generate interest, but they would need to do a good job marketing it and make it mean something. So
yeah.
Okay.
You know,
yeah, this was reported by Mark Stein, studying 2 format changes that would involve a mid-season tournament during yep. All-Star weekend and an end of season tournament to determine the last 2 playoff spots in the East and West.
And actually let's give credit where credit's due. It actually, Mark Stein's writing about it, but it was first reported on an NBC affiliate in New York where commissioner sat down with a guy, and I watched it. I watched the video of it, sat down and talked all about it. And I'm all for it if he can make it happen, but I think we're still a ways out.
I think we just need to go to the top 16 teams.
Yeah.
No East or West Conference. That's what we've all agreed we'd like, right?
Yes.
So, mm-hmm.
John, you know, what were you going to say, John?
I was going to say, of the 2 changes, I like the end of season one.
Yes.
The mid-season one is just something that you have to market it. It has to be something that the players are invested in, that like fan bases would want to, you know, Our fan base is going to brag, hey, we won the midseason tournament. It's they got to make it mean something somehow.
And if I get what the question that was asked that brought that up was whether the season was too long and how do you make it better? So Adam Silver offered 2 options, and I think his options behind both of them, including the midseason one, would be to somehow make it mean something, not just to fans, but to the players during the season, so that it doesn't become as much a meaningless season pre All-Star break. So anyway.
All right. Yeah. Last basketball quick hit. Bronny and Young Flash, Zaire Wade, teaming up in high school. It's being reported. Is this something that you guys care about? Should anyone care about this?
I don't care. Not really.
Okay. And just to make some of our listeners happy, I want to do a little bit of Premier League reporting. Chelsea beats Arsenal 4-1 in the Europa League final. And on Saturday, you will have the Champions League final between Tottenham and Liverpool.
Yay.
Live from Madrid. Alan doesn't care. John, do you care?
As a lifelong Tottenham fan, I am very excited.
Good. Good. I'm glad. Also coming up, we may be able to talk about it next week, but you've got the Women's World Cup that's going to be going on in the next week or two. So I'm sure we'll actually follow that. That's something of interest to me. Sorry. I don't know about you guys.
Sorry, John. Yeah. John's response sounded so, so real and non-sarcastic in any way, shape, or form.
How dare you question his fandom? How dare you? We're done with Lucas.
Last note I'm going to make that we didn't this week. Yoli Childs drops back into BYU, does not go to the NBA.
Yay.
Discovered maybe it's not time yet.
Yay.
John, what do you think?
Well, he would have been a second round pick, and it's risky. So good for him going back and try to raise his stock.
Agreed. Go back for his senior season. So, all right. Well, that's it for quick hits. John, we just got a couple minutes. Pop culture, where do you want to touch on?
Okay. Since we last recorded, I saw three movies. I saw John Wick 3, which I really liked. I would say it's about as good as John Wick 2, maybe a little bit better. But John Wick is like one of the last cool action stars. And it's like it's an action star in a theme that his acting doesn't have to be great. He just has to have the presence, and action scenes have to be cool. And so John Wick pays off, and I'm looking forward to John Wick 4.
I got to ask real quick.
I saw Aladdin.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Was Boban the best part of that movie?
Boban had a great scene. I really enjoyed his scene.
Okay. I think I saw the scene genuinely online. Good. And I was just like, oh, really? So, yeah. Okay. Sorry, that's all.
I was very amused.
All right.
He had a weird name like Clarence or Francis or some kind of dumb name.
All right. You
Ernest,
wanted to.
I don't remember.
Next movie you wanted to touch on, I have seen. So let's hit it up. Aladdin.
I thought Aladdin was going to be a mess. Guy Ritchie is very hit and miss director, especially with big budget movies. But I was entertained by it. I actually enjoyed it. I thought they did a good job. The things they changed, I didn't have a problem with. And I liked a lot of the things that they kept the same. So.
I was concerned going in. I expected the genie to be a little more wooden because I love Will Smith, but I've always had that bar set high because of Robin Williams. But I felt like, and I said this on Twitter, but I felt like that Will Smith paid homage to Robin Williams in this movie, but made the genie his own. And he did a fantastic job. And I was thoroughly entertained, found myself laughing, enjoyed the movie. And you're right, they made some changes. One change that I thought benefited the movie extremely well was the improvement of Jasmine's character. And not to say she wasn't great in the original, because she was. But I really liked her storyline in this one and felt like she was a very strong character.
Yeah. Yeah, the tweaks they made to Jasmine, and I think credit has to go to the actress as well. I really liked Jasmine in this movie. I thought she was the star, basically. Will Smith did his thing, but I think Naomi Scott is going to be a star after this. And
agreed.
I see that she's going to be in the Charlie's Angels reboot, so I think she's going to,
A few weeks back, you mentioned you were concerned about Jafar. I read it somewhere, I think one of your Twitter accounts, or even you said it on here. What did you think of him? Because I thought he did really well.
I thought he did well. It was just a different Jafar, but it was its own thing. And I thought he was pretty good. You know, I love the Jafar of the animated version, the voice and just the silky evil. This was a different character, but I thought it still worked. So
also Alan Tudyk.
I thought the guy was good.
Alan Tudyk as Iago was good, although he played a lesser kind of role in this movie, Iago did, than he did in the original. And, of course, Frank Welker returning as Abu, I thought that was great, too. I'm with you. This entire movie was really good. It stands on its own, not just as a reboot, but stands on its own. And both movies are timeless and I think can stand on their own side by side for good. I it was just wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. What was the other movie you saw?
The other movie I saw was Booksmart. It's about two high school girls who get 4.0 GPAs and they're super smart, but they've put off doing anything else. Just focus on getting into a good college. And on the last day of school, they kind of realize that, you know what, we haven't had any fun. And so they decide that they're going to go to this wild party, even though they never go to parties. And it's another one of those one crazy night movies about high school. It's similar to Superbad in many ways, which is kind of funny because one of the two main girls is the younger sister of Jonah Hill. But I thought it was really smart. I thought it was really funny. I thought it was well done, and I think it's the best movie of the year so far.
Nice.
And was this Olivia Wilde's directorial debut? Has she done a
yes?
Okay.
Yeah, it was her debut, and it was really good.
All right. Okay, one side note on pop culture, and that is if you get a chance, I don't know if you have, John, but anybody listening gets a chance, check out A Series of Unfortunate Events on Netflix. I am completing season 3 now, which is the finale. Really, really, really enjoyed it. Neil Patrick Harris did a fine job as Count Olaf. Incredible job. So if you haven't seen it, I think take some time to see it. It is worth it. I've been binge watching it for the last week, and I've enjoyed it a lot. It was really well done. Barry Sonnenfeld produced and was a big part of this. And for those who don't know who that is, go back to the first two Men in Black. That's Barry Sonnenfeld. That's one of his signatures right there. So really a great job on that series. I don't know if you've seen it, John.
No, I haven't.
So yeah, take a minute if you get a chance to binge watch that. And Lemony Snicket, played by Patrick Warburton. Very, very funny and good in a Patrick Warburton sort of way. All right. Well, that does it for this week's episode of Jedi and Germs. You didn't have anything else, right?
Nope.
All right. Thank you all for joining us this week for our new condensed little shortened version. We hope you enjoy it. Let us know what you think of our show. Leave a review. Find us anywhere, Facebook, Twitter, or on any podcast platform you listen. We appreciate you all very much. Talk to you real soon. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.